Well, all right. Here comes yet another, I think, pretty big question for you, Lauren. And that is, there are, oh gosh, Lauren, any number of programs on the internet right now that will allow you to make a telephone call, for example. Simply put in a number, and if there is a fee, it's a very small fee, and some are free, and you can just, for example, from here in the Philippines, call a number in the United States as you would on the telephone, but for so much less. As the internet expands and speeds get better, we're going to be able to deliver pay-per-view movies on the internet. Movies are already, as you well know, moving on the internet, and then of course there's a problem of music and all the rest of it. But what I'm getting at, Lauren, is that obviously this, it's going to get to the point where the internet is so dangerous to a lot of industries around the world that there is going to have to be some sort of tax or control. And what do you know? What's going on?
Well, actually, this is already well on its way, but not necessarily in the way you might imagine. The phone call side of this you were just mentioning is what's called voice over IP,
right?
Voice over Internet Protocol, and that's things, of course, like Vonage in the U.S., Skype, which is a version that's more computer to computer or computer to phone rather than using ordinary phones. All sorts of things like that. That, by the way, is censored in some countries. We're talking about censorship. There are countries where you can't use that because it competes with the country's government-owned telephone system.
No problem here. I've got Skype and I can use it.
So, you know, that's another kind of form of censorship. But what's happening, you were talking about music and movies and pay-per-view television movies, all these sorts of things. This is an area where the phone companies and the cable companies, who are the main way that we get high-speed internet service or any kind of internet service in the U.S., are very, very interested in carving out protection for themselves and to make it as difficult as possible in the long run for competition. It's necessary to go a little bit back in history for this. And what we need to do is look at why the Internet is the way it is. And one of the key things about the Internet and the ARPANET before it, one of the real geniuses in its design, is that the network itself doesn't know a lot about what people are doing on it. It doesn't really know too much about the details of the applications, whether you're using a web browser and looking at a website or listening to some streaming music or whatever you're doing. The network is very busily moving packets of data from place to place. It isn't doing a lot of interpretation or control or
well, no, wait a minute. I thought that was largely controlled by ports. Am I incorrect?
Well, ports are sort of think of ports as addressing more than anything else. But I'm talking about the internet itself in terms of the big machine in a way. Of course, it's a lot, you know, many, many independent machines that are moving information from point A to point B. And its real job is to do that as cleanly as possible and without getting in the way. That is not the telephone company model of doing things. And I want to ask you a question. When the phone company or a cable company comes to you and says, boy, have we got a deal for you. Just put yourself in our hands. You're going to get such wonderful stuff. Just sign up for us. Sign up for this bundle. Let us take care of you. Where do you usually end up in 6 months or a year? Usually you end up paying a lot more than you'd planned. And traditionally the phone company always operated that way. They'd liked to have complete control of everything and charge whatever the market would bear in a restricted environment. The internet is the opposite of that. The internet's the antithesis of that. The internet is a situation where the phone company and the cable company are sort of relegated when it comes to internet service to just passing bits along. And anyone can set up an application. That means anyone as big as Google or some kid operating out of a garage who's come up with a brilliant new idea, the entrepreneur for tomorrow who can get on the network just as equally and as easily as anyone else and move as much data as he can pay for his internet connection. And what's happening right now, and this is under the banner of network neutrality, and this is in Congress right now. There's battles in Congress with the phone companies on one side and actually companies like Google on the other side.
Right.
The phone companies want to have a way to charge people who aren't their customers. And the cable companies do.
Wait a minute. The phone companies want a way to charge people who are not their customers.
Right.
I'm sorry, define that for me. For example, if I take Skype and I call through some portal, I'm ringing a phone in Las Vegas, let us say.
Mm-hmm.
How do they possibly control me?
Well, that's what the plan is in the long run if things go in the direction that things seem to be going.
But how?
Well, you do it by making it, by somehow charging the people that are providing the service on the other end. I'll use the Google example, okay? This all kind of started off when the CEO of AT&T, that's the new AT&T, which used to be SBC, and so it gets confusing. When he made a remark that just riled up a lot of people, where he said, "How come people like Google and these other services can use my network for free? Why aren't they paying me for the right to reach my customers?" Now, of course, Google is paying for its network connections on its side a lot. You're paying for the network connection on your side. You people here in this country, we're paying for DSL or for cable or however we're accessing the Internet. But the kind of thinking that's occurring now and the kind of pressure that's taking place from AT&T and others is it's not enough to have the subscribers paying. They want to have a way to say, well, the service you're talking to should pay to have the right to talk to you, the subscriber. That's a novel approach. It's almost like saying if you call somebody, they should on the phone, they should pay for the right to get your call.
Huh.
Actually, the phone companies talked about that many years ago. They actually mused about doing that, but it didn't work for obvious reasons. But now you're in a situation where this can work. And what the network neutrality battle is all about is saying, hey, Congress, do something right for a change. Make sure we have an even playing field for all of this. And as you can imagine, the telephone company lobbyists who have had like over 100 years experience at doing lobbying,
right,
versus someone like Google that's only been around 8 years, the phone companies basically have the Congress in their back pocket right now. Now, playing devil's advocate for a moment here, to be fair, there are people who are very knowledgeable about these issues, who are very concerned about trying to pass laws to create this even playing field right now, because they're concerned that once the government gets involved, they're going to muck it up.